Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
この思いを消してしまうにはまだ人生長いでしょう。やり残してることをやり直してみたいから、
everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, getting ready to end season 8 today. Say hello to season 9 next week. I'll talk about that at the end. Oh yeah, now you actually have to listen to this one, and shame on you for even thinking otherwise. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
That's Gina Ippolito. Gina Ippolito lied to me, Robert Clark Chan. Gina's like, oh, I've never seen Full Metal Alchemist. What's that? I'm like, oh, you can't possibly have not seen it. Come on now. She's like, no, absolutely not. I'm like, well, then we need to watch it. I'll put it on the list. And I put it on the list. And then Gina's like, oh, yeah, I've already seen this episode.
First of all, what I said was, I've seen Full Metal Alchemist, all of it. I've never seen Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. I didn't realize it was a shot-for-shot remake of Full Metal Alchemist with just a slightly crappier animation style.
Yeah, no, it's just a reboot like they do for video games.
No, no, no.
It's more like a remaster.
It does diverge. The storylines diverge in a few episodes, I think.
I read about this when I had to do Edward for Who Would Win. Let me say, they did the first series of Full Metal Alchemist, Gina, before the manga had been completed. And then it diverges because they went, it's like Game of Thrones. They went as far as they could, and then they had to do their own thing, as opposed to ending it the way it's supposed to end. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is after the manga was completed, they could actually do the whole story. Now that means doing the first like 7 seasons shot for shot for whatever reason. But like then it goes in the proper direction. According to the comics, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that is the story.
Essentially, yes.
I had seen this one. It was still just as horrific. I think maybe in the original one, the ending was very slightly different. It's still very sad, but not. But when we get there, I'll say, I think the original title in the original episode was called The Philosopher's Stone.
That makes sense.
That's one of the main through lines of the whole series. So like any episode could be called that.
Oh, or maybe, yeah.
The episode before, I think, might've been called Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, no. I think I'm looking at the
Don't
original.
Don't you mean Sorcerer's Stone?
It was Knight of the Chimera's Cry was the original.
Oh, that's a better name.
And the girl in the original one was even cuter, if you can believe it. And the dog was even cuter.
Warning, a warning on this episode. For those of you who listened to our Astro Boy Christmas episode and thought to yourself, well, that's as dark as they're going to go pretty much ever, you're wrong.
For those of you who have a soul, warning, this one might break you.
This one hurts. This is a very upsetting piece of art. And I just want to lead us off by saying, if darkness upsets you, don't worry
about
this one.
What are you doing listening to this?
We'll see you in season 9.
What are you doing listening to this podcast? I feel like any given episode, at least one of us is super dark.
I mean, yes, but that's us, not the property.
Here's the thing. I don't do this very often. I will do it this time. I apologize.
Wow.
I thought this would be hilarious because Gina's never seen it because Gina lied to me. But even still, I'm like, I've already seen this. Yeah, I watched all of Full Metal Alchemist. I watched Full Metal Brotherhood. I've seen scattered episodes here and there. I've seen this one at least a couple more times. And I was like, I'm fine. This will be fine. I've seen this before. It'll be okay.
You saw it before having kids, Chan.
It was not okay.
Had I seen this 10 years ago, I would have had a different set of opinions on it.
Ooh.
But it slaps a little differently, don't it, Chan?
I mean, you've seen it, right? Right?
Here's the deal. I became familiar with the concept of Full Metal Alchemist in order to do the Who Would Win show. I have not sat down and watched all the episodes, but for my research, I watched a couple of episodes. I watched a lot of clips. I read a lot of lore. You got to do the research. So I hadn't sat down and watched this end to end. I was aware of this episode when it got going. I knew where we were headed, and I wasn't happy with you about it, to be honest with you.
Well, let's get into it. We can depress the audience, which is what they tune in for.
That's what they're here for.
Again, and just to recap briefly, for those of you who missed the Astro Boy Christmas episode, Gina, you were one of them. It was me, you, and I believe Mike Irizarry. Shout out, what's on Joe Mind? Chan thought it'd be hilarious if we do one where an innocent robot child is lost in the snow at Christmas time and has to get effing nuked.
To be fair, I didn't know anything about what was coming there. Most of the time, 95% of the time, I've never seen the episode. I just pick it based on the title or a synopsis.
And it was a Christmas episode, in theory. Yeah. In theory. We weren't ready for the darkness. Oof. It got real rough.
Oof.
Not as rough as this, though. So anyway, I wrote here, my first note is like, I forget what this show is. It all came back to me as I was watching it. But when it starts kicking off, I'm like, God damn it, it's more anime.
I do like the original art in the original Full Metal Alchemist better than this. This was like more childlike, which somehow made it worse when ending came.
I mean, that's part of it, is the tone is just slightly different. I don't think it's better or worse, either of them. They're just different. So like, I like when they get a little cartoony, and boy, that does set you up for a huge gut punch, because that dog is just so adorable, and they're just having fun, and things are light.
Things are light until they aren't.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, they start
extra light
with some mega assassin just like bloodbending.
Well,
you know,
that's fine though. That was a cold open, you know. It's Full Metal Alchemist. For those of you who don't know, it's about Edward Elric and his brother. And there's a horrific accident, something that happens. Something terribly violent happens to him and his family, where Edward loses an arm and a leg, and his brother gets his body gets completely killed.
They try to do magic that is beyond them and destroy their mom. And then, because as they explain in the opener here, you can't create something out of nothing. So when you're doing alchemical experiments and transmutating things, since you can't create something out of nothing, it sort of takes a sacrifice if you're trying to do too much magic. So accidentally killed their mom when they were little. And then his little brother like lost his body. And before he could be fully lost, his brother sort of put him into this giant robot body. So he's like a has a robot. He has a giant robot body, but like the mind of like a 6-year-old. And then the older brother, who's like 12 or something, also lost his arm, but then created a robot arm for him. So now they've been looking now like his brother couldn't leave well enough alone. So he was basically like, I will master the elements of transmutation and alchemy, and I will give my brother back his body. But basically, the more they find out about it, the more they realize that it's not possible. Like in this episode, when you try to play God, you end up with a horrible dog daughter.
But you get to keep your job, you know, so we got that going for us.
That's the important thing.
I mean, look, let's be real. The state of the industry right now, if someone was like, hey, can you create a half dog, half girl, little girl mutant? And then we'll give you a job on a show. I would be like, yeah, point me to that little girl
and smash them together, just unholy amalgam.
So
the talks.
They make a big deal of you have to give in order to take, and in this opening scene, like there's a battle between two alchemists. I didn't really see them giving a whole heck of a lot as they're creating like giant howitzer guns from the street.
Well, that's what they're doing, is that they're taking the elements of the street, deconstructing it, reconstructing it. So like that's where that stuff is coming from.
I get you. All right. Fair enough. You know, I don't know all the rules. I probably did this episode like 3 years ago, I think. So, you know, I'm not as up on all of this. I just remember thinking to myself, like, what are they giving in order to take? But you're right. He turned the street into a series of guns, and it was kind of a very violent moment in the very beginning, which sets us up with the Wheel of Fortune theme. Same as the beginning, as it is in the end. We're going to get there. That's how I remember that narrative technique. Let's hear a little bit of that theme song, because it was comfortably 18 minutes long.
And very anime-y. Alchemy,
the science of understanding, deconstructing, and reconstructing matter. However, it is not an all-powerful art. It is impossible to create something out of nothing. If one wishes to obtain something, something of equal value must be given. This is the law of equivalent exchange, the basis of all alchemy.
This is the law of equivalent exchange.
Yeah, but then it gets like starts shredding, doesn't it?
It sounds like a Lamb of God song.
No, but let me say, I don't know who that voice actor is. I feel like they were in something that we watched recently, though. That's very familiar timbre to that voice.
Could be. This one, I accidentally watched it. I just watched it in English. I've only watched it in Japanese before. So mildly disappointed in some of the voice acting. Good. But, you know, I prefer the OG. Also
same. I it's just sort of strange that they came out so in such close proximity to one another, and they did very similar episodes, just like in a slightly worse way.
I mean, here's the thing, anime does that a lot. Like, I'm currently watching the Ranma reboot, which is almost exactly the original Ranma anime. It's timed a little bit differently because they're following the comics a little more closely, but almost exactly the same thing, same jokes, same. The animation is slightly better, but I mean, I guess that's what happens when you don't have enough IP. You got to keep ripping.
Keep on ripping.
Grip it and rip it.
This is episode 4 of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. Gina pointed out to us, I think it was episode 7 in the original series that this one happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel robbed of content.
I mean, yeah. We honestly could just put this one off as long as possible. Like, put it near the end, because like the show gets real intense, but honestly, I don't feel like it ever gets more intense than this.
Right. Well, so there's two people we meet. We really don't know either of them. And he's got a philosopher's stone. One of them does. And there's a guy named Wario. Well, that's what I called him, Wario, because he's got the mustache.
Philosopher's stone? What the hell are you talking about?
I just wrote here, he's got a philosopher's stone. I don't know what's happening here.
Oh, yeah. This was like a recap from the previous episode, but it turns out it's a fake.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just excited for like the 9,000 Harry Potter references that we're not going to make on this episode.
Or the Paulo Coelho references, who did it first?
I'm not familiar with that sport.
I couldn't possibly guess, and there's no way to tell. So we'll just have to move on.
Well, so Wario has a secret meeting.
He literally wrote the book, The Alchemist, and it's what it was about.
Palo Alto?
Silicon Valley. Honestly, I'm not surprised at Ray, who I still suspect does not know how to read. But Chan, I am surprised that you have never read The Alchemist.
I have not. I tried to move us off the subject because eventually if we keep on the subject, we'll get to the horrendous human being who is associated with this, and I want nothing to do with it.
That's why I'm only talking about Paulo Coelho.
Fair enough. Also, the Philosopher's Stone is something that's gone back to the ancient Greeks. So
yes, correct.
Probably as long as they had both philosophers and stones. It's my Sherlock Holmes like knowledge there.
They had to mash them together, just like I can't think of a good analogy for two things being smashed together into an unholy monstrosity. I wish I could think.
Maybe by the end of this episode, you'll come up with one.
Yeah, possibly. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, Wario makes a bunch of cannons. And he drops like a giant safe on this guy or something.
Stop us right now and remind us how great the fucking facial hair is in this show.
Phenomenal. Like, and the hairstyles too.
He's got the Wario, the other dude whose name I forget, the bodybuilder guy. He's got this huge fuck off mustache. It reminds me of the butcher from AEW. Beautiful.
And the one dude has like a cupy curly Q, and that's his only hair on like his forehead. It's crazy.
Yep.
Like that. This ends with the assassin killing Wario by grabbing him by the face and blasting him.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
And the cupy mascot guy with the beautiful hair might be next. Turns out they have backup from the government because there are government, they're like government jobs, these alchemists. And can you give me a sound pull for pretty much right on 5 o'clock? One of the things I had a lot of trouble with, I have a lot of trouble in a lot of animes, is the incomprehensible amount of exposition. They just have characters dump on each other all the time.
Well, it's because people like you can't retain any knowledge, clearly.
If you knew what a Philosopher's Stone was, we wouldn't have to go into this discussion. But since you do not, let me draw you a diagram.
It's like it's written for Netflix or something.
Next up, who's this?
Lieutenant Yoki. Remember the crook who was using the Usewell coal mine concessions to line his own pockets? Anyway, the Elric brothers exposed what that dirty thief was up to, and now he's on the run.
Previously on Full Metal Alchemist. It made me laugh just because of how naked the exposition dumps were in this. It happened a lot of times in the show, and anime in particular, because of the nature of what it is, falls victim to this writing trap more often than pretty much any other genre.
I mean, it's kind of like in comic books when they're fighting and talking, and if they actually said those that many words that are in the word balloon as they're taking this one swing of a punch,
right?
Like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense except as it's on the comic book page.
I think of it also sort of like in the old Stan Lee, what he used to do is they'd make a reference to an earlier comic and then there'd be like a little asterisk next to it. And at the bottom, there'd be a box that says, see Avengers 72.
Also, let this be the point where I full throatedly advocate you, everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice, go see Sinners, which is an absolutely goddamn amazing movie. I thought of it because the single quibble I have with the film is they do a little bit too much of like, hey, here's a thing that happens. It's just like the thing that happened at the beginning of the movie. See how that ties it all together? And then they show you like a clip of the thing that happened at the beginning of the movie.
Is this Family Guy? What are we talking about?
No, but it is an exec note. I can tell you that. It's not a thing that Ryan Coogler did because he wanted to. It was an exec being like, do you think people will remember this? And he was like, if they're paying attention, they will. And then the exec was like, well, what if we put it in a flashback?
Yeah. It's so terrible. But also, I did not realize that Smoke couldn't roll his own cigarettes, that Stack was always the one that did it for him.
Uh-huh. So see, you caught something on the second time they showed it.
Well, no. Someone told me about it afterwards. Like, oh, okay.
Also, if you have seen Sinners, go and watch Jessica Clemens's breakdown on New Rock Stars of it, because she goes into a deep dive about what everything means, about the costumes, history of Jim Crow, slavery, all that kind of stuff.
So is she doing better now? I'm sad that she had a breakdown after seeing this movie.
Oh, my God. Let's move on.
Anyway, they Edward is there, and then they recap what I assume to be the last episode. So I just wrote here that, you know, why don't we just have the man of recaps come in at the beginning of every episode and just let us know every detail we need walking into it. If you haven't watched the man of recaps to start a new season, I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful channel. Big fan of that guy. And then I remembered that his brother's in the robot. This is what I remembered that part of it.
Damn it, Ray.
They literally say, you asked me to play the theme song. In that theme song, it does exactly what I like when you have like a show this dense. Like, this is what alchemy is. This is who these two people are, and this is what happened to them. They literally explain what happened to the kid.
I'm gonna pull back the curtain briefly, because Chan asked me to record a reaction video while I was watching Full Metal Alchemist. So there is a 22 or whatever minute video that Chan now has possession of me sitting there barely reacting to it, trying to remember to talk as I'm taking my notes and trying to focus on this particular episode. So which means that when that all was happening, I was fiddling with controls and I wasn't really paying attention, because I was waiting for the music to start, because the music is a little bit of a bop. As is usual, blame Chan.
I blame both of you for literally everything in my life.
I mean,
but you should be thanking us too.
You're
really
correct most of the time, is the thing.
Yeah. Okay, so there's this guy who's a very famous or a very big time alchemist who discovered a chimera that talked.
No, he created a chimera that talked. Damn it, Ray, you're bad at this.
He discovered it after he created it.
That's not how it works.
And it only said, I want to die. And I was like, yeah, man.
When the end reveal happens, it becomes a million times darker. Because at first you're like, oh my God, he like created some poor sort of animal hybrid and it was in pain and it wanted to die. That's so sad. And then at the end you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We'll get there in just a second. I did love the, if we could get the sound poll from 7 minutes and 7 seconds, that would be ideal, because his house is a mess. But whose fault is it?
I'm sorry about the mess. Ever since my wife ran out, this place has been a wreck.
Oh, great. I'm so sorry. This house is a mess. It's my wife's fault for not being there and doing it.
Here's the thing. It's great, because if you don't know what's coming, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, this guy's kind of an asshole. Like, I doubt his, like, it. I don't think his wife ran out on him because she was, like, cheating on him. Sounds like he was just, like, a jerk who didn't pay attention to her and, you know, was like, why haven't you done the dishes? I'm too busy doing things. And you're like, oh, well, this is, you know, just sort of like garden variety, shitty guy.
I mean, I don't even think like, I think you're supposed to sort of sympathize with him a little bit, like, oh, he's a single dad. Like, because his wife sort of couldn't handle the stress of being married to someone in sort of an unstable career. Like, that's what they're, but like, yeah, he is sort of an inattentive father throughout. But I think you're supposed to just be like, oh, he's like a scatterbrained scientist. His wife left him. His daughter wants to spend more time with him. Like, oh, poor guy.
Yeah, yeah. And they do a good job of setting that up.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It was solid. But in the moment, I laughed uproariously when he tries to throw his two years gone wife under the bus
for
his house being a mess today.
2 years is kind of a long time.
You know, you get a little bit of time, I guess, but not that much. Also, they say, can we see your research? And I felt real dirty in the moment because he's like, you want to see my research? Show me your research.
Well, 100%. One of my notes was like, it sort of makes sense. You know, he's like, oh, it's the law of equivalent exchange. You show me yours and I'll show you mine. Makes sense in context, but also the way he says it. Just like, nah, man, you're straight up a creep.
Yeah, but I think also it's like, okay, this is how it works in academia, you know, like no one's gonna do research for years and then just share it without getting something in return. So in hindsight, everything is a million times creepier, but I think they do a good job of being like, oh, this is sort of like an awkward man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, given how much info dumping they've done in this episode, thankfully, they do the exchange of information that each person's already learned off camera, and I don't have to see it. I was really worried they were about to do another 2-minute info dump right here of just saying, just rehashing.
You didn't
whatever.
Even pay attention to the previous info dump. They would not have to do info dumps if you would just pay attention.
If I start paying attention to info dumps, Gina, they'll keep doing them.
No, they keep doing them because you so far have gotten most of the facts wrong that you have reported.
How dare you?
I wish that you weren't the reason movie execs are like, hey, maybe say it again. Just repeat it again. And maybe again.
In fact, the execs now call that the Ray rule, I hear.
Ray rule.
When they talk to Ryan Coogler about his movie, they're like, hey, this is great. Do you think Ray will understand it? And Ryan Coogler's like, I don't give a fuck if Ray understands it. And they're like,
we've got a lot of Rays out there. We really need you to do it for them.
I can't dispute any of this, unfortunately. So they check out his lab at his library, and they let Edward into the library to read books. And boy, there's nothing more exciting to me than watching an animated feature about people reading.
Yo, I absolutely would watch an entire goddamn movie. There's just people sitting around in a library, like quietly sipping tea and reading books.
Same.
And also, you know, he gets so into the reading books, they try to say goodbye to him, and he's just flat out ignoring them and sticking his nose in his book. Side note, there didn't used to be so many people with autism back in the day.
I mean, here's...
Unrelated.
I mean, ordinarily, I'm instantly going to side with the person showing signs of being on the spectrum and show Tucker... absolutely falls into that category. I think it's less so with Edward. It's more like, I killed my mom and I got to get her back. Yeah. I have to get my brother's body back, by the way, also my fault. So he's driven in a way that I don't think has anything to do with how he relates to the world.
A little politeness goes a long way, Robert Clark Chan.
Why? He's like 12. He's like 12 years old. He's already killed so many people.
Yeah.
Maybe his parents should step in and not let him go on a world traipsing. Oh, I see where the problem came in.
Mm-hmm. Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, if he was collecting Pokemon, it'd be the same show. You know, the robot's giving a piggyback ride to the little girl. The dog, in a recurring bit, keeps raffle stomping Edward and jumping on top of him.
It's so goddamn fun.
Yeah,
they do it three times. They do it a fourth time. They break the rule of threes to do it a fourth time.
Still,
and then they say, oh, Edward, you look dog tired. And I laughed uproariously.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about anime is the wordplay that they can do because they have three different goddamn alphabets.
Yeah.
And little girl Nina says, Daddy, what does assessment day mean? Because her dad is basically days away from having to essentially like go in front of the board and justify his ability as an alchemist so he can keep his job as a government sanctioned alchemist, right? And he's being paid pretty well. Doesn't save a lot, apparently, huh? But he does not want to lose this job. This will put him out on the streets.
Yeah. Again, you know, I would murder a little girl to get my career back.
We are aware.
Good. Are you listening, everyone?
Yeah. Are you listening, Hollywood?
Gina, you're not invited for Easter anymore.
Well, I mean, that seems more dangerous. I'm going to be honest. You want me in your sights.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Gina you know as opposed to the Gina you don't know. That's I did love the picture you took at Easter time, though, holding up the basket. And you want to say what the caption said?
I think it was something about how I pushed toddlers down to get to these eggs.
It was something along those lines. Yes, that is. I did laugh again uproariously. So we're now on to day two of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, episode 4. More research. Nothing more riveting than watching people reading books, sitting there, different angles of people reading.
And I'm going to keep telling you that would be fucking awesome.
People reading. I see, you know, I hear about these couples that sit in silence in their living room and both read at the same time. It's and I'm like, I would rather kill myself. What are we talking about? That sounds
parallel awful. Play, Ray.
Oh, it's terrible. Completely
normal thing.
Yeah, not normal.
Sometimes people will sit on their couch playing different games of Minecraft while watching John Oliver, and that is perfectly okay. No,
that's normal. That at least has some attraction. Sitting down and reading two, not the same book, not you're just reading two different books in a complete silence.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting
by another person is what serial killers would do if they find
each other? Are you suggesting that we open a single book and read it together?
I'm suggesting, what if you had two books and then you read them? Because you also, that's the problem. You'd have to read them at the same cadence. It's just awful. It's hell. That to me is hell.
Question. Is just reading, period, also hell for you?
Yes, obviously.
Okay. I think we see where the connection is here. And yeah. It's not necessarily.
How could you even focus on your book knowing that there's a person sitting in complete silence reading 5 feet away from you?
Because that's how you're supposed to goddamn read.
Oh, that's awful. Ugh. Ugh. God, I feel bad for those people, honestly. They could be playing a board game or something, or Split Fiction on the Xbox Series X. That's worthwhile.
The what? The what? The what?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
We want SSP! We want SSP!
You got 'em. Here's Kenner's SSP Peewees. They're great little SSPs. The driver's in his cockpit, in goes the easy pull T-stick, a quick tug and they're off, scooting along indoors or out. They're so easy to rev up and race. SSP Peewees with easy pull T-sticks and driver. Each racer sold separately.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway, this is where we get the fourth dog stomp, and this is it. This is why I don't want a dog in my own house. I can't live with the constant fear that I'm about to get just bowled over by a gigantic
but
canine.
That's how everyone in your life feels about you. So should they kick you out of the house? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Gina, I record in the garage. What do you even mean? Please. People only want me around when there's a way to get out. Anyway, I don't want a dog. I'm going on the record as saying it.
At least we do agree on this point.
Thank you. Thank you. This has turned into a Ray and Chan versus Gina dog episode. Gina famously also does not have a dog.
I grew up with dogs. Thank you very much.
That's like saying that I have a black friend.
Thank you. If you were really into it, thank you.
I do have a black friend, though.
That's good. Good for you, Gina.
Chan, you're my black friend.
You can ask him. What? Wait, what?
You're my black friend, Chan.
Oof.
And that gave her permission, Chan, when you're not here, to say a lot of very outlandish things to me because she thinks it's safe.
Yeah. This is not going to go down very well at our next NAACP meeting.
Oh, my God. Anyway, the dad has to do something impressive to keep his job. Here we go. We cut back to the military people, and there's a weird thing in here where he says, why is this assassin going after state alchemists? Wouldn't going after people in the military be easier?
Just like, I mean, he's not wrong. Thing to say. He's not wrong.
But the military people, the alchemists are generally like found by themselves. Yes, they're powerful, but the military people are often found, you know, with the army. Which would be hard to crack.
No, but here's, the military just have regular fighting skills. Alchemists can turn literally anything into a weapon.
Yeah. 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 This is a thing that as you watch the show, you'll realize the alchemists are disproportionately OP. And that's part of the thing. It leads into the discussion and the philosophy of this militaristic society and, you know, gets into the meat of the series, which is all very interesting, but does require a lot of world building. I mean, a lot.
Yeah. I also like this moment where they say, hey, a guy with a large scar was seen in the area of the murder. I'm like, oh man, you solved it, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Makes it pretty easy to spot him, though.
Wow. And actually, in the moment, I thought to myself, oh no, Zaymot.
Without Tomax?
Yeah. How'd he do it? I don't know.
I don't care for that.
And so we cut back to, we're getting almost to day three. We're getting to the meat of it now. We get to hear the tearful story of the father who says, we were so poor, my horrible wife left us.
If you look at the shot.
Yes. He is clearly the one who is yelling there.
He has his fist balled while the little girl is cowering behind the dog. Does he beat her? Maybe yes, maybe no. He is clearly
aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, more and more doubt is cast on his story as he goes along.
I don't know. It feels like a real Rashomon situation. I don't know which direction to go here.
Yeah, fortunately, it gets cleared up pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, Daddy says, Nina, this girl, she says, Daddy, will you play with me? And he goes, absolutely. I've got a great idea of how we can play. And immediately my next note is, uh-oh. I don't think this is going to go very well.
Nope.
And, what are you talking about? It goes great. He gets to keep his job. That's the most important thing.
To be fair, I mean, that is an upshot of where we're going.
He gets to keep his job for the rest of his life.
Not bad. Both seconds of it, to quote Demolition Man, please, a great movie I just watched a couple days ago again.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Why?
You know why.
No, I don't. Yeah. I suppose I do.
You don't, but you do. So we're back to day three now. Day three of reading. Oh, The Edward and his brother come on in. They say, Mr. Tucker. And we cut to him having like kind of glowing eyes sitting in darkness in like shadows, kind of like giggling to himself or something. And I'm like, oh no, he did something foolish.
One of my favorite things in anime is dude with those like sort of flat spectacle glasses.
Yeah,
not even necessarily in the dark, in full daylight too. Just like bing, just like shined over. My favorite.
Yeah, they do. They did it a lot for the Clock King in Batman the Animated Series.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was
right.
What this reminded me of.
You know, that was a pretty good show.
You know,
did he ever make chimeras?
I think that was his whole time. He just wanted more time to make more chimeras.
Oh, okay, I see.
Well, who could blame him? Well, you know what, Mr. Tucker here has done it. He's created a chimera that understands human speech. How about that?
Hey.
And it refers to Edward, and then the chimera is like Edward, and he understands.
Hold on.
Oh, please, Edward. We need to hear it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Naturally talk.
Hey, Nina.
Here, let me show you. Listen to me. That person over there, that's Edward.
That person, Edward.
Yes, that's very good. Well done.
That's amazing. It can actually talk.
Now I don't have to worry about losing my certification.
That person, Edward. That person, Edward. That person, Edward. Big Brother Ed.
And that's when everybody's eyes get wide.
I also like that, like, the voice gets more horrific each time you hear it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got a little goosebumpy there. That is terrifying.
I want you both to go to sleep tonight and imagine being woken up by that voice at like 2 a.m. You just hear it, Big Brother Edward, and you're just like, spouse, was that you? Yeah.
You're all getting voice memos at like midnight tonight. I hope you're ready for them. And this is where Edward's like, hey, wait a minute. 2 years ago, didn't you get certified? And that is the exact same time as when your wife left you? That's, you might have made some bad choices, huh?
Think about the chimera that they mentioned in the beginning that just kept saying, I want to die.
Yes.
Yep.
And that was his wife.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, here's the deal. We don't know that. You're making a lot of assumptions, Gina.
I think it's...
Listen, they say that 80% of violence against women where they're turned into a chimera is is intimate partner chimera abuse.
Uh-huh. That's, you know what? Let's go ahead and call it 100%. I feel like 100% is the correct number for that. I don't think we'll be overestimating it all.
See, I don't know. I mean, the only reason I would cast doubt, right?
Edward, no.
Oh, my God.
Daddy, do you hurt Daddy?
That was pretty bad. I will say right now, if y'all came over to my house and you found out, and I said, guys, I got two things I have to talk to you about. That's why I invited you over here. One, Melissa has unfortunately left me and taken off.
I think we're all waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And then part two, I've got this crazy monster that can talk. To be fair, after part one, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You don't even think about it in regards to part two.
Well, here's the thing. You couldn't science a monstrosity if you had all of Dr. Moreau's brains, half of Elric's books, and the power of the Wizard of Oz.
That is true.
So actually, this is where the plan falls down in plausibility.
Well, Ray... I think any, like, if you ever want to get away with murder, you just have to sort of commit it, because I think everyone would assume there's no way Ray thinks he's getting away with murder. He clearly didn't do this.
It's like that show, How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah. Was the answer to it just be a big dumb guy that no one thinks could get away with murder?
it worked for them.
Is that what that show was about?
Did you actually watch the show?
I watched the first few seasons of that show, and it got a little redundant. After like three seasons of spinning our wheels, kind of playing the same notes over and over again, I kind of like fell off.
Fair.
It was good though. I mean, it was one
that Melissa talked you into, wasn't it?
Oh, 100%. But I was interested. You know, we try things. We got halfway through Silo season two before we were sort of just like, the show isn't really going anywhere.
Have you finished shrinking yet?
What's shrinking?
I have.
Everybody, no, I haven't watched a single episode.
Everybody needs to watch Shrinking.
Yeah, you should watch Shrinking.
Everybody tells me how good it is. I need to watch The Studio.
Studio's great. It's very.
I watched the first two episodes and it's very uncomfortable.
Very anxiety inducing.
Yeah, I don't know how people outside of this town would watch this show without really. I mean, I think, look, this is going to sound really pretentious and awful, but like, I think we get it on a just a different level than people in, say, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Is that a mean thing to say? Is that pretentious? Like,
absolutely not.
I'm curious what their impressions are because we have a little bit better understanding of how things work in this town.
I mean, here's the thing. Hollywood loves to make films about Hollywood, so this is not
nothing
unusual.
More.
But yeah, once you live out here and go through that grind, you're like, oh yeah, it's a little bit. Again, it's like having a child and then watching this episode of Full Metal Alchemist. It hits different.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to put off talking about what happens next.
I mean, at this point, it doesn't get any worse.
It doesn't get any better either, Chad.
No. But I mean, like, once Chimera Alexandra is saying, "Daddy, don't hurt Daddy."
Yeah. Mr. Tucker goes full mask off. He goes full after the election conservative commentator and just stops pretending. And he starts saying the actual things that we were talking about the entire time. Could be talking about anything right now. He just says, look, human experimentation is a necessary step. I think he's making some good points, but Edward just punches him and real hard. And then he's just a shattered man who has won, but lost everything. He's like Thanos after the snap.
No, Thanos at least got a nice farm after the snap.
Well,
this guy still gets his
job.
This guy still gets his shitty, dirty apartment.
That's a nice house. What do you mean? It's dirty. He can afford a housekeeper now that he doesn't have to feed a 7-year-old.
He should have just gotten the 7-year-old off the street.
Now,
also, the fact that
question.
He involved the dog is the real
I'm
crime
sorry.
Here.
Did you say he should have gotten a 7-year-old off? That's the only part I heard there.
That's the only thing I heard, and gross, Gina. But second off, there are plenty of urchins in this world, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Why did it have to be your own kid?
Yeah. Also, like I want to know what the rest of his plan was. Like, he was just going to live with this monster, I guess, for the rest of his life.
Yes. I mean,
that's fair.
That's all I got out of it.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
And this is where I just wrote this note, maybe the understatement of the century. Hey, this is pretty dark.
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit.
Fact that it's like that it doesn't look like the dog cute, the girl cute, when they're combined, they are horrifying.
Monstrous. I mean, don't watch this episode unless you're planning to commit to Full Metal Alchemist.
I mean,
you know what
it's
I'm saying?
Basically like a big dog with like an elongated face that has long stringy brown hair and it's
like drooling everywhere.
Horrifying.
Yeah,
I would like to remind you though of this beautiful, beautiful voice.
Daddy's hurting.
God damn it. God damn it, Jen. Now, what's crazy is Edward goes to the alchemist, like the alchemist board, and he's just like, hey man, he did this. And they're looking at it like, well, he got the results. Nobody cares.
No, don't they put guards on him and shit? I assume they're about to throw him in jail.
They are, but also that is how they respond. It's like, well, you know,
gotta break a few eggs to make an omelet.
Yeah. Also, it's important to note that the leader of this nation is referred to as the Führer. So there are not relatable some resonances with historical events that might be relevant here.
Yeah, like maybe this mass murderer has a point.
Possibly.
Right, Full Metal? And then Edward has a really weird speech where he's just like, you know, we're not like that because we know we're human. And I'm like, I don't know, man. You're going to do some outlandish stuff in this show. I don't know, man. Sure, kid. Keep your purity. You know, vote green.
I don't remember how Full Metal Alchemist ended. Do they get that kid's body back? I'm guessing no.
Chan, you can answer this. My remembrance is that he has to sacrifice himself to bring back other people.
Oh, it's been a while. I don't remember. I remember it ends okay. And like it's not crazy and happy like they all die and also, you know, the world is destroyed kind of thing.
Well, we started with a cold open about an assassin. Let's end with sort of the reverse of that, the cold close. Here comes assassin guy and yoink, kills all the guards, grabs the Mr. Tucker by the face and kills him in the same way. Nina's very sad and says a few things that Chan's already played for us that I do not want to hear again.
I can play it again if you need.
I want to hear it again.
God damn it.
I've lost.
Daddy's hurting. It places lotion in the basket. Don't hurt Daddy.
Don't wake Daddy.
If you wake Daddy, I'll cut you like a fish.
Full Metal Alchemist, the board game.
I want to suck your blood.
Daddy's hurting. Daddy hurts. No, Daddy.
Yeah. Thank you. Amazing.
And then what happens, Ray?
So what does the assassin do? He kills her, too.
Here's the thing. He doesn't want to. He feels bad about this part. He doesn't want to kill her. He's like, oh, man, now there's no way to separate you. Oh, well, at least your suffering will end soon. So I think he kills her fast in the original version. So in this one, like, you don't really see what he does, but there's two bloody mangled bodies. It's and you're bad. Like, oh, crap, he's probably killed her in the same way. In the original one, he like finds her in an alley in the rain and she's like sort of confused and scared. And then he destroys her so that she's only a fucking shadow on the wall, like a nuclear blast hit her. And it is terrible.
That's somehow worse.
Yes, it is somehow worse. Even though here we see a bloody body, seeing a shadow of a chimera girl dog on a wall. And then that's how the brothers find her. And they're like, oh, man, dead shadow of a dead chimera girl dog. And then they flash back to all their happy times that they spent with her, which was terrible.
You know,
yeah, they go hard on this episode.
They do. And this is right. My note right here. This is why we don't do anime.
To be fair, there's
every time we do anime, it's a disaster. Astro Boy, this.
Oh, well, I guess I got to go find some anime now.
Look, do we need to get a palate cleanser and do the episode of the buried episode of Lupin the Third that's all about Hitler? That I have on my DVDs, but you cannot find on Tubi?
Yeah, I don't think you want to announce publicly that you have this sort of thing in your stash.
What are you talking about? It's the only reason I'll be safe in about 3 months, Chan.
And we're back to reality.
Oh, there goes gravity.
Oh, God dang it. You beat me to it. Anyway, that's the darkest shit we've ever seen on Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
I think you should go and watch it because if we have to have this in our brains for the rest of the week, you all should too.
I need to amend your statement. It is the darkest shit we've seen so far.
Don't you do that to us, Chan. Are we going to watch Tetsuo the Iron Man? I mean, what are we going to possibly watch that's going to be darker than this?
You're challenging me. You just keep poking the bear, and the bear is going to take a swipe at you now.
No, because what's going to happen is Chan's going to find something so dark he doesn't want to show it to us. That's my prediction. Because he's trying to outdo himself.
We'll find out.
It's hard to get darker than what we just saw. And guys, this is on Netflix. Normally, I would put a link to the episode that we watched. But this is a go to your Netflix and watch it there if you wanted to. You don't have to. Let me just go ahead and reiterate. Not necessary.
It is necessary.
We got the high points. I mean, if you're happy with that, you know. Unless you're a completist like Gina, in which case.
In which case, you got to go watch this entire series and be depressed as all get out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a good show. It is worthwhile.
There is some good production quality to it. You know, I had my gripes, but they're not dissimilar from my gripes about most anime that I watch. You know, I'm watching this Solo Leveling because, you know, I'm interested. I was interested in it because it was the number one most watched anime of 2024. And I'm like, well, what are people watching these days?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. It's some of the most uneven storytelling I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
I've been trying to get more anime going in my life. Dan to Dan, just absolutely phenomenal. Love it so much. Sakamoto Days, very enjoyable. Like that a lot. Try Jujutsu Kaisen. Do not care for it.
Wow. Wow, I'm telling Adam MacArthur.
You know what? Feel free.
Wow.
Next time he comes on Who Would Win, he can tell me off.
No, he can't. He won't be there.
Oh, you don't say. Well then.
I'll have him record it. I'll have him record his voice saying,
"Don't kill Daddy."
And I'm Daddy, sending it to you at midnight.
Daddy hurting? Daddy hurting.
I just realized they must have put some sort of like filter on that voice, because otherwise it's just straight up a Muppet voice.
Yeah, 100%. No, they did, and you're right.
Yeah, and I think it's like, yeah, they probably took like the original little girl's voice and then like pitch shifted it, but then also put an effect on it. It's very disturbing.
It is super dark.
And at that note, that's it for season 8. If you wanted to go put on your finest suit, I'd understand. But please don't, because you haven't seen our season 9 artwork yet. Chan, we got some cool season 9 artwork.
Yeah, why are you talking to me about it? I gave it to you.
You gave it to me.
You're saying that like I have something else to do. I've already done my part.
Suggested the artist. Weller, who's been on the show fairly recently,
Lovely man. Visual
artist. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, Chan's idea, and I agreed immediately. So I get all the credit to draw us a season 9. Do we want to like give any hints of what we did or how we want to do this? Just drop it. Let people see it.
I don't care.
Gina, what do you think?
I stopped listening 5 minutes ago.
It's not even 9 o'clock yet. You're not allowed.
Listen, I'm thinking of Don't Kill Daddy.
Oh, Jesus.
I feel like there might be another episode after this for the end of season 9, or maybe we'll just put this afterwards.
No, this is going at the end.
Okay. Well, then let's wrap up the season. Like, is there... give out the actual contact information that I usually cut off.
Wow, we're going to do that. Season 8 will end with contact information. So you can hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You can also hit us up on Facebook. There's a Facebook group. Or you can find us on Instagram and Threads. I don't check our Instagram page too much or our Threads page, but it exists. And usually people will just tag us on Threads. I'm on there as Almighty Ray 316. Gina's Gina Ippy. Chan is 999 RPMs. Unless I'm mistaken, that's how it goes. Did I get that right, Gina?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so you can hit us up, tag us all. We'll see it. Generally what happens is somebody tags us on Threads. I see it, screenshot it, put it in our group chat, and then Gina immediately goes and likes the post as if she saw it first.
I do see it first. Ray hates the fans. He's told me that every single day for the last 10 years. He doesn't like any of you. I'm the only one looking out for all of you.
Did you say that I'm on Threads?
Aren't you?
No. I haven't been on there.
No wonder you never see the Threads.
Jesus. Well, you should go on Threads because people have been commenting to you for months. So you both hate the fans.
Nobody's on your Mastodon, Chan. I'm sorry.
I ain't giving no more money to Zuck, so she's gonna have to figure it out, people.
Were you paying for Threads?
Yeah, what is happening?
I was giving him my attention.
So I'm just going to have to give out, if you're on Patreon, I'm going to give out Chan's home address so you can just stop by and get his attention that way.
Mm-hmm.
Ring the bell.
It'll just be a lot easier for everyone.
I will not pull your finger.
Hi.
What will you do if I pull your finger? No, no, no. Okay, here. I want to see. I'm pulling your finger.
That dude is sharding.
Did you just make fart noises with your mouth? No. If you ask somebody to pull your finger, you better
Have one locked and loaded, Egon. What are we doing here?
Oy. You do not understand how these things work, child. Go brush your teeth.
Pull my finger.
Go brush your teeth.
Pull my finger.
Not unless you're willing to shit your pants.
Okay.
All right. Let me see your pants. Go, brush your teeth.
I don't know. I feel like that needs to be the end credits is Chan's parenting.
Stuck in a job you hate? Wish you could break into tech, but don't know where to start? CBG Nuggets makes IT training simple, affordable, and dare we say, fun. With short, engaging videos and hands-on virtual labs, you can build real-world skills right from your browser. No expensive hardware, no confusing software. Just practical training that gets you job ready. Learn at your own pace, on your own schedule, from anywhere. Start your 7-day free trial at cbtnuggets.com. Because a better career is just a few clicks away.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.